it's still that's going on, man. I know we've been on a drought with this, but we're still confiscating the Bible, man. And I know when we're up at the Red Hot, Pastor Burton preached a good sermon on just reiterating why we're taking those things out, man. It's false doctrine, we're sending people to hell, man. So let's try to confiscate those false versions, put a KJV in their hand, and toss them in the trash, man. Hopefully we can watch them burn and enjoy it. Right? So don't forget about that. And we have to end the year and then have those Bibles, nice Bibles that I got my eye on them. Below that, we have a game night, Friday, August 12th at 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I guess just make it whenever time you can. There's a good spot right there between 5 and 9. Just get here whenever you can, and we're going to have games and provide just light refreshments, whatever that means. And it's, I guess that was canceled, so don't worry about the Grand Canyon. I guess you just stomped in our dreams right there. I seen it. I was like, oh, Grand Canyon? Nope, didn't happen. And then upcoming, we're going to have our faithful Tucson 40th anniversary, and that's going to be on Sunday, September 4th. We're going to have Deacon Oliver Gonzalez from Verity, and he's come a couple times, man, and he's a real good brother, man. So come down and check it out. We're going to cook. We're going to smoke some briskets again, so it's going to be good, right? So I'm going to make sure that's going to be good. And it's coming out, and I think they're going to move the evening service to like 3, I believe. Don't quote me on that. So that way we can kind of be a little easier for him to come preach for us evening, and so the day won't be so long. So come and get out. Definitely 4 years is something to be proud of. But you know, Deacon like to say, it ain't nothing yet, so we got four more to go, right?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, so that's going to be moved. If you want to take part in that, just be here in contact with Brother Zuluar, Deacon, and that's something to get down to for taking part of. And we have our donuts and everything. Also, just an update, I was up here in Champion last night, and I was talking to Matt Pendleton out there, and I don't know if you guys are familiar, he was out there on a camping trip with us, and he's suffering from like brain cancer, and it's something that's very serious. I was talking last night about it, and you know, the reason why I'm saying that is for those that want to help, there's a page. I know, if you guys need a link, just let me know. I know it's going around Facebook and everything. I know Gabriel has it, Joanna has it. Just to help with the medical expenses and stuff. So if you guys do want to help, you know, financially, it's there. But if you can, it's not mandatory. But obviously, you can use prayer, you know, because I know his family's going through a lot right now. And I talked to him yesterday, and it's kind of affecting him. And just obviously, if you can help financially, just help him in prayer. Because it's very serious. And just a little update on my mom. I know you guys have been curious about what's going on. My mom, I figured out that, you know, she's going through her chemo and everything going on right now. She did have some complications in her stomach and everything, and it was not looking too good, you know, but as I got work today, you know, she got out of the emergency, she had her procedure, and she's doing better, you know, so just keep her in prayer, because there is power in prayer, so just please keep her in prayer. But that's what's going on. She's okay, she's going through her chemo. They said that the tumor is a little bit of recession or whatever, but that's kind of, you know, just like day by day, you know, so just keep her in prayer, please. And I appreciate those of you that have kept in prayer. So. Also, let's go ahead and count up our soul winning. Anybody have anything for Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? And then today I know we have one out there. Keep up the great work for soul winning, and we'll be for the next one.
Song number 18, Take the Name of Jesus with You.
Thank you.
16. That's Mark chapter 16. As always, we'll read the entire chapter. Please follow along silently. Was from Mark chapter 16.
Mark chapter 16. Verse 1, the Bible reads, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Simone had brought sweet spices that they may come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he saith unto them, be not afraid, you see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, he said unto them. And they went out quickly, and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled, and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went, and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residents, neither believed they then. Afterward, he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, working with them, and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. Brother Martinez, would you pray for us?
Lord, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. I pray you bless the reading of the words. I pray you bless the offering, Lord. I pray you bless that. Love you, Lord, and be with the preacher and the preachers, Lord, and be with the deacon and the travel back home as well. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I would like to, first of all, thank Deacon Russell for this opportunity to preach to you guys, and thank Pastor as well, and thank you guys for coming out. You know, obviously, I love coming down here and seeing you guys. I love coming down here. And, the title of my sermon today is Get a Vision for the Great Commission. Get a Vision for the Great Commission. You know, here in Mark chapter 16, we have one of the best verses in the Bible for, the Great Commission. And we're going to talk about this tonight, basically just preaching the gospel to the whole world. You know, this was what Jesus told us to do. This was the last thing that Jesus told us to do before he went up into heaven. And so it's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal in the Bible. We're going to talk about it tonight. I have 3 points for you tonight. You know, my first point is just, I want you guys to understand what the Great Commission is. And then my second point is, the plan for the Great Commission. How are we going to get it done? And then my third point will be, to fulfill the Great Commission, how to fulfill it and how to accomplish it, and basically, so I want to start with my first point tonight, understanding the Great Commission. I want you guys to understand what this is. Now, there are two parts to the Great Commission. Jesus in Mark chapter 16 and Matthew 28, he talks about this. And basically, one part of the Great Commission is basically meant for everyone. Man, woman, boy, and girl, we're all supposed to go out there and preach the gospel to every creature. And then the second part of the Great Commission that we'll talk about later is dedicated towards, pastors and deacons and evangelists, with church planting and stuff like that. So look down, if you would, at verse 15, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where the Bible says, and he said unto them, it's a very familiar verse, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about this particular verse for, a good portion of my sermon here. And basically, I want to break it down to you, even word by word, and just talk about what exactly, this is entailed in this. Okay, so I want to start with that word go. I want to break it down just word by word, talk about go. This implies action on our part. See, we're supposed to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to, leave our comfort zone, leave, our normal basically life and just go out there and reach those people that we wouldn't otherwise reach. You know, it says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." See, we're supposed to go out. We're supposed to go out there and, you know, into the highways and hedges. And that's quite literally what we do. We go out into the streets and we preach to the people at their door, and we're supposed to compel them to come in. You know, not necessarily compel them to come into, you know, the church, but to compel them to be saved, you know, compel them to go into, you know, the Father's house and everything. And, you know, we can't expect, you know, all of them to come to us and get saved. You know what I mean? We have to go reach them where they're at. We have to go out there and reach them. You know, we can't necessarily expect, you know, 7.8 billion people to, you know, just come to church, you know, and get saved or whatever. You know what I mean? We can't expect them to come to us. We have to go and reach them where they're at in their lives. And that's how we're going to get this done. This is how we're going to reach the whole world with the gospel. You know, there are some churches out there, maybe Old IFB churches or whatever, where they go out and not necessarily preaching the gospel, just inviting people to church with flyers and things like that. And, you know, hoping that these people will come to church and then walk down the aisle and get saved at the altar or whatever. You know, that's good and all, but, you know, we need to go and bring the gospel to them. We need to go out there with the gospel in our mouth, with the Bible in our hand, with our feet shod, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and we need to go bring it to them and get them saved where they're at. And not just, you know, expect them to come to church. I'm all for, you know, them coming to church and getting visitors saved and everything, but we don't need to rely on that for, you know, basically getting people saved and preaching the gospel to every creature. You know, it doesn't say, go ye into all the world and hand out tracts to every creature. You know, it says to go out and preach the gospel. We need to know how to preach the gospel as church members. We need to go out there and actively preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. So there needs to be a go aspect to, you know, your walk with God and, you know, our soul winning. Okay? So, turn if you would to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Now, I want to basically be exhaustive in this idea of going out and preaching the gospel to every creature. And so that's why I want to break this down word by word. Now we're going to talk about all. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, you know, I have news for you. You know, all means all. You know what I mean? And it says every creature. Every means every. And so God expects us to go everywhere and preach the gospel to everyone. You know, and the Bible talks about this, and it gives us an example of how, you know, back then in the first century AD, this was actually done. Look down, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse number 5. It says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel?" See, we're talking about the gospel here. "Which is come unto you," look at this, "as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." So the Bible is recording here that during this time, whenever Paul wrote this, that the gospel had gone out in all the world during his time. And in fact, it defines it further in verse 23. Just skip down, if you would, to verse number 23. It makes it abundantly clear what happened. It says in verse 23, it says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Again, we're still talking about the same thing. "Which ye have heard," and look at this, "and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." Notice, it said that Paul says here that it was already preached. It's already been done. It's already been accomplished. He had, him and the people who he was working with and the disciples during that time had preached the gospel to every creature, not just everybody. It defines even further. It says, which is under heaven. Everybody who was under heaven at that time, everybody who was on the earth during that time had heard the gospel. And, you know, that is the goal. You know, that's what God has commanded us to do. That is what we're supposed to be doing. Notice what they didn't do. They didn't just stick to their one little neighborhood. You know what I mean? They didn't just stick in their, you know, one zip code or their neighborhood or whatever. They strove to reach everybody. And, you know, we as a church should strive to reach everyone in our area. And that's why, you know, I love to see that map that you guys have back there. And we have it up there in Tempe as well. A map of your entire area, and you're shading it in, you know, just line upon line, you know, street by street. You guys are getting it done. And that's great. You know, that is what God has commanded us to do, is to preach the gospel to all the world. And that starts just right here at home, just preaching to the people in our area. And so, And, you know, and along with that, too, we shouldn't just get stuck in just one little area, you know, of our city or of our state or whatever. You know, our churches, you know, your church and our church up in Tempe, you know, we have the goal to basically knock every single door in the entire state of Arizona. And so that's a great big goal, you know, and it's great. But, you know, that would necessitate that we would, you know, basically reach everyone, you know, the people who are in the receptive areas, the receptive people and the unreceptive as well. We need to go to everyone. You know, we don't need to just get stuck in these certain areas or whatever. And so that's why I love about our churches. And, you know, this principle of reaching everyone, you know, the receptive and the unreceptive, this principle is found in the Bible. And I want to read to you a few verses. You can actually start turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm just going to read to you a couple of verses while you go over there. But basically, you know, I want to read to you from Ezekiel chapter 33. Again, these are all going to be very familiar verses tonight. You know, we're just going to go over the same things that we already know. You know, we need to be reminded of these things. But it says in Ezekiel chapter 33, it says in verse 2, it says, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him forth for their watchman." Okay, and just think to yourself, whenever you hear that word watchman, that's us. You know, that's us as soul winners, right? It says in verse 3 in there, it says, "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, and whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his head." So notice, you know, we're the watchmen. We're supposed to be out there basically warning people about, you know, the coming judgment. We're supposed to be warning people about hell and telling them how to go to heaven. And if we do that and they don't get saved, then guess what? The blood is on them. But then it goes on to say, "He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." So that's what we want, is for them to deliver their soul. And then it also says, "But if the watchman see the sword come," so if he knows about it, you know, it saved people, you know, we know about the, you know, how if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell, and we know all this. But it says, "If the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned," so he's not telling anybody, he's not warning anybody. "If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." See, if we're not out there warning people about hell, telling people how to go to heaven, if we're not out there soul winning, preaching the gospel, then you know what? Their blood is on us. You know, we need to go out there and warn them and get and try to get them saved. You know, that's what Jesus wants us to do. That's what the command is, to preach the gospel to every creature. And notice, you know, if you just go to the same areas all the time and you don't reach new people and go to new places or whatever, then, you know, you can't really say, you know, that you're basically warning those people. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. In fact, Paul talks about this. He harkens back to Ezekiel chapter 33 and Acts chapter 20. I'll just read it to you. It says, this is Paul speaking here. He says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." See, he's referring back to Ezekiel chapter 33. He wants to make it very clear that he has endeavored to preach the gospel to everybody, to as many people as he possibly could in his life. He worked for that goal. And it says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And so we should have this same attitude that, hey, we're trying to reach as many people as we can personally. You know, new people, people that otherwise would not have their doors knocked. And, you know, I want to tell you guys a story about basically, you know, we're knocking out the Indian reservations here in the state of Arizona and everything. We've been working hard on that. That's been our goal for the past 6 years, and we're basically drawn to a close with that. We have two Indian reservations left. We're going to the Hopi primarily right now, and then we also have the Navajo as well. Now, here's the thing about the Hopi, is that the Hopi reservation is not that receptive. You know, the people there, they don't really like people coming, like outsiders coming to their place and knocking on their door. They don't really like that, and we don't get very many people saved whenever we go there. But, you know, somebody told me recently, we were on the Hopi reservation. Somebody was like, "Hey, you know what? I just want to tell you, I don't think we should be here. You know, I don't think we should be knocking on these doors. I think, we need to go to the Apache instead." The Apache, they're super receptive. A ton of them get saved. But, you know, and that sounds good and all, but that's really the wrong attitude to have, because we've already knocked all the doors in the Apache. We need to reach the Hopi now, because if we're not reaching them, then, you know, the chances are nobody's going to reach them. You know what I mean? I mean, if we don't reach the people here in Tucson, or if we don't reach people people in Phoenix. Like, there's other Baptist churches that may knock those doors, but nobody is going to go to the Hopi and reach them. That's up to us. We need to do that. We need to make sure that we don't have the blood of the Hopi upon us. You know what I mean? We need to go there and preach the gospel to them. And whether they hear or whether they forbear, they shall know that they have had a prophet among them. You know, that's what we need to do. You know, we need to basically go there and preach to them the gospel as well. You know, and I'll tell you some more stories, too. You know, there were a couple of guys who used to come to our church. You know, they left our church a few years ago. They turned out to be bozos later or whatever. But basically, you know, they had this this goal. They wanted to knock every single door in this area of Phoenix called Maryville, which is very, very receptive, right? And before they left, you know, I noticed that on our big map at church, and it still looks like this today, where basically they knocked like 90% of that place, but there are all these little white specks everywhere, places that they had not knocked. And so I asked one of them, I said, you know, well, what's up with all the white spots? Why didn't you guys get that? And he assured me, he's like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we didn't knock those areas because those were the unreceptive areas. You know, we drove by and we saw, yeah, this is a much nicer neighborhood. We're just going to skip it because we don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste our time going to the unreceptive areas. Let me tell you something. Soul winning is never a waste of time. You know, no matter where you go, no matter who you're reaching, it's not a waste of time. The Bible has commanded us to reach every creature in all the world. You know, it shouldn't necessarily matter whether, you know, it's receptive or unreceptive. Obviously, we desire to go and get as many people saved as we possibly can in the receptive areas, but we can't just neglect the unreceptive people. You know what I mean? You know, it's never a waste of time to go soul winning. Why? Because the Bible says that the word of the Lord shall not return again void. It's not going to return again void. If we're out there and we're preaching the gospel, then we're making a difference. Period. I believe that every single time that we go out soul winning, whether we get somebody saved or not, we're making a difference. Hey, we're planting seeds. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just about planting that seed with that guy. You know, giving them John 3:16 or giving them a verse from the Bible and explaining it to them. Sometimes that's the victory right there. Because you don't know, you know, if that seed is going to get watered later or whatever, and then that guy's going to get saved later on down the road. And so I think that every time we go soul winning, it makes a difference. You know, it's what God has commanded us to do. You know, and I'll give you an example of just how planting a seed, you know, I saw in my own life how that actually helped somebody get saved. You know, we used to do a lot of soul winning on the ASU campus, just, you know, approaching people, talking to them and everything. And then we used to do it on a weekly basis, a group of us guys up in Tempe. And so, you know, I went there one night and then basically we were preaching. And then this lady came up to me. She walked up to me and she said, "Hey, you know, somebody from your church came and talked to me last week. And left me with a Bible verse, and I haven't been able to get that Bible verse out of my head all week. Can you show me a little bit more, you know, about," and I thought that was awesome. That was just like them coming to me. I was just like, whoa. But, you know, that's a perfect example of how planting seeds actually, you know, does make a difference. You know what I mean? And that lady ended up getting saved. You know, and I got another story, you know, just last week, or not last week, but a few weeks ago, you know, we had all the different pastors come up to Tempe and preach for us and everything. And then I went soul winning with Pastor Berzins. He was there. He was in town. And, you know, if there's anybody who can appreciate like value behind planting seeds, it's him, because he was up in Prescott Valley for like 4 years. We were just talking about this, how it was just extremely unreceptive up there, and how he would just go, you know, even weeks at a time without getting anybody saved or even getting into a good conversation. And even if, you know, he knocked on somebody's door and they weren't really that interested, you know, he would just try to talk to them for as long as he can, because he just wants to talk to somebody, you know what I mean? And so that's somebody who can really appreciate, you know, the value behind planting seeds and watering seeds with people. And so, yeah, that's great, too. You know, I talked to him about that. And and so, listen, I just don't want you guys to have this bad attitude about, like, oh, man, we're going to the, you know, unreceptive neighborhood. That's terrible or whatever. I don't want you guys to have that attitude, because here's the thing. You know, whether people get saved or not, I do believe that we're making a difference. And not only that, we're following the command of God. God has told us to preach the gospel to every creature in all the world. And so, you know, basically this attitude, like that guy that I talked about earlier, it's like, oh, I don't want to waste my time in that neighborhood. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of like the attitude of like a, you know, a spoiled kid who basically doesn't want to eat his vegetables or whatever. It's like, I don't want to go to the Hopi. I want to go to the Apache. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to eat my Brussels sprouts. I want to eat my dessert or whatever. You know what I mean? It's that kind of mentality. No, we need to preach the gospel to everybody. We need to reach everyone that we possibly can. And then also, too, you know, I thought about this, too, is that if we only go to the, you know, the receptive areas, then those are the only people that we're actually going to reach. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been in an unreceptive neighborhood before, and I've met people who were actually very ready to get saved, that were very receptive, and they were actually living in an unreceptive area. And, you know, that sort of thing happens, you know, quite a bit. In fact, let me tell you another story. In fact, it was me and actually Brother Segura, he's here tonight, but we were in this one neighborhood up in Phoenix that was very unreceptive. It's called Ahwatukee, and we were not getting a lot of people saved there at all. But I'll tell you this, we knocked on this door, and then this young lady came to the door, and you know what? She was probably, you know, the most receptive person I think I've ever met in my life. Like, she was just so ready to get saved. Like, she knew the verses. You know, she was, you know, basically finishing my sentences and stuff. She just wasn't saved yet, and she just got saved just so easy. And, you know, me and Brother Segura were talking about it afterward, and we were both like, man, that she might have been the most receptive person that, you know, we've ever met. And so that was great. And you know what? That was in one of the least receptive areas of all of the Phoenix area and stuff. So that just goes to show you that, like, if you just ignore those areas, you're not going to reach those people. You know what I mean? And so we need to go to the receptive areas and the unreceptives. And this is a principle in the Bible. You know, how about the principle of leaving the 99 and going into the wilderness and finding that one person? You know what I mean? You know, there are some wildernesses out there. There are some unreceptive places out there. But, you know, we need to leave the 99 and go out there and get that one person saved. You know what I mean? So it makes a difference whenever we go out here. And, you know, there are some unreceptive areas out there. And let me ask you guys this. You know, what's like one of the most unreceptive areas here in Tucson that you would say? Like, what's one of the areas where it's just super fancy, super rich, like people don't want to hear the gospel? Like, what's an area like that? What is it? Green Ranch? Rita Ranch. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You know, if Deacon Russell comes back on Sunday and he's like, all right, you guys, I got a great idea. We're going to start a soul winning campaign to Rita Ranch. We're going to knock every single door, and we're not going to do any other soul winning, but just go in there. It's a big task. It's going to take us a couple of years. We're just going to keep knocking there. Are you going to have a bad attitude about that? You know, are you going to be like, oh, well, I don't want to go there, you know, or whatever? Are you going to drop out of soul winning? Are you going to? No, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't have that kind of attitude. We should be thankful that we're reaching everyone and that we have a church that's dedicated to reaching everyone. And so, you know, Paul and the disciples, you know, they got the gospel to all the world. They got the gospel to every single person in the first century AD. And you know what? You know, that required them to go to some places where it was unreceptive, or where they, you know, maybe the people there didn't want to hear it. And so, you know, that's what we need to do as well, is that in our local area here, we need to go to everyone and reach everyone that we can. And so, you know, we talked about the going aspect. We need to go out and preach the gospel. We talked about going to, you know, all over the world, you know, and basically preaching the gospel to every creature. But now I want to talk about, you know, how we specifically need to preach the gospel. You know, it doesn't say go ye unto all the world and, you know, preach, you know, the replacement theology to all creatures, or, you know, get into arguments with Jehovah's Witnesses on where heaven's located or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we're out there to preach the gospel. That's what we need to do. And in fact, you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look down, if you would, in verse number 1. These are some of the best verses in the Bible about, you know, the importance of soul winning, I think. But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look down if you would at verse number 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. This ministry is referring to us preaching the gospel. It says in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Again, that's going back to, if we don't reach them, then, you know what, I don't know who's going to reach them. You know what I mean? We need to reach those people who are lost. You know, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. It says in verse number 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then notice verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, we have this ministry, we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. It's up to us to go out there and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, people cannot get saved just on their own. You know what I mean? They need to hear the gospel preached by somebody who's saved, and they need that in order to be saved. They can't get saved on their own. That's why that ministry has been entrusted to us who are saved to go out there and preach to them. In fact, let me prove it to you. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. And while you're turning there, I'm going to prove this to you from the Bible, from Romans chapter 10. But you're turning to Matthew 28. It says in Romans 10, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and who of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And so notice, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? They must hear the gospel by somebody who's saved in order to get saved. You know, that's what the Bible teaches right here. And so it's up to us to get those people saved. That's it, up to us. And, you know, I had this thought, too. You know, maybe you haven't thought about it like this before. But think about, you know, the most important, you know, people in history, you know, that the world would look at and say, this guy was important. This guy was influential. Think about, you know, maybe the founding fathers like George Washington or Benjamin Franklin or Abraham Lincoln. You know, I can't think of any guys that aren't American guys. But anyway, you know, there's other guys out there. But, you know, think about these very, very important people in history. Listen, if you go out and you just get, you know, even one person saved in your whole life, you've done more than those people had in their entire life. You know what I mean? You change the destiny of somebody from going to hell to going to heaven. Like, that is such a big deal. You know, we should be rejoicing about that. And, you know, that's very important. You know, soul winning is just, it's one of the most, yeah, it's the most important thing that you could do, you know, is just getting people saved, going out there, preaching the gospel to every creature. And so I thought that was an interesting thought. And so, you know, we need to preach the gospel to every single person, every single creature that we possibly can. Obviously, we need to preach the gospel to every person in the world. But, you know, me personally, I'm not going to do that. You personally, you can't do that either. But what we can do is reach the people in our area. You know, and if we all work together as Christians and everything, and we're just working together trying to get this done, you know, we have the maps, we coordinate and everything, then, you know, it is a real possibility that we can reach every single person in the entire world. You know, Paul did it in his day, and that's our job for us today as well. And so, you know, we have that ministry. And it's a very simple, you know, thing to do. You know, it's just, it's a very simple directive. Just go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we just have to have the faith that it can be done. You know what I mean? Some people, they don't have the faith that it can be done today in 2022. And it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen today. But you know what? It can happen in our generation, in our lifetime. We can do that if we work towards that. You know, if we have the faith that it can be done. You know, the Bible says that all things are possible to him that believeth. So if we believe that it can be done and we're working towards it, then it can get done. You know, but the Bible also says on the converse side as well, it says, you know, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So again, you know, if we don't have the faith, then, you know, maybe we won't get it done, you know. And so that's why it's so important to hear a sermon like this to basically, you know, get our minds focused on the Great Commission, focused on preaching the gospel to every creature. Why? Because if we have that faith that we can get it done, and if we're praying for it and we're working for it, then you know what? We can do it. We can get it done. And even in our lifetime, we can preach the gospel to every creature in the entire world. We can do that. And so, you know, in fact, our pastor preached a sermon about this a long time ago, and I've referenced it before, you know, whenever I preach, probably down here even. But, you know, that sermon was called "A Strategy to Evangelize the World in Our Lifetime." And, you know, that sermon, you know, in my personal life was instrumental. Like, that was a pivotal point in my life. You know, there were lots of reasons why I wanted to move out here to Faithful Word and everything, you know, for the great preaching, for the great fellowship of like-minded believers and stuff. But really, that one sermon was what, like, you know, was the tipping scale. Like, from, well, I'm not sure if I should move, to, all right, I got to go. Because I wanted to be a part of a church that had a great big vision. You know, a vision to reach the world with the gospel. The Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And so really, if I had to boil it down to one thing, that's why I moved out here. And, you know, if you guys have not heard that sermon, I highly recommend that you, you know, go home tonight and listen to that sermon. You know, because it's great. In fact, you can just walk out right now and go listen to it. That sermon's better than my sermon. So, no, I'm just joking. But anyway, just listen. You know, I do recommend you listen to that sermon, though. And even if you've heard it before, listen to it again. You know, I don't always do this, but I try to listen to that sermon even on a monthly basis, just because I want to have that mindset of reaching the gospel to every creature. You know what I mean? And so that's a great sermon to go and watch and listen to. So you're there in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to also look at another Great Commission passage in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 28, this is basically a parallel passage with what we just saw in Mark chapter 16, preach the gospel to every creature. And basically, this is the other side of the coin. You know, the other one in Mark chapter 16, that's for everyone. That's for man, boy, you know, woman, child. But basically, in Matthew 28, this is more geared towards people who want to start churches and everything. Look down, if you would, at verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," again, there's that going aspect, "and teach all nations." And then here's how we know that it's referring to churches in general. It says, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." See, we as soul winners, you know, we're not supposed to be going out there and baptizing. That's for, you know, the church leader to do, like Deacon Russell or our pastor up in Tempe. And it says in verse 20, it says, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And so this is the Great Commission. This is the other side of the coin, talking about churches, you know, planting churches, going out into the, you know, into the world and planting churches all over the place. And basically, you know, baptizing them and teaching them to observe God's commandments. You know, again, that's not what we do out soul winning. We just teach them the gospel. We're not necessarily teaching them to, you know, live a clean life or whatever. So turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. And what we'll see in Acts chapter 1 is basically the glue that brings these two together. See, Mark chapter 28, or Mark chapter 16 and Matthew 28, these two things, they go hand in hand. See, you can't have, you know, a church that doesn't have their church members soul winning, a bunch of soul winners in it, because then, you know, God's going to take that candlestick away. You know, that's not good. That's not what God has commanded us to do. And then conversely, you can't have, you know, a soul winner going out there, it's like a commando Christian without a church that he goes to or anything like that either. It's just not going to work. You know what I mean? That's why earlier it said, how shall they preach lest they be sent? You need to have a church that's sending you out to preach the gospel and all of that. And so basically, that's why these two verses, they coincide, they go together. You can't have one without the other. And then, in fact, in Acts chapter 1, this is like the glue that sticks these two together. Look down, if you would, at verse number 8. It says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in the Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so this leads me to my second point tonight, which is the planning of the Great Commission. We talked about understanding the Great Commission. I feel like we have a good understanding of this. But now we want to talk about how to plan it, how to go about it. How are we going to do this? You know, I'm with you. We need to preach the gospel to every creature, all nations, all over the world. But how are we going to get it done? Well, this is the verse right here that tells us how we're going to get it done. You know, and basically, God has given us this framework for how to reach the whole world, you know, in our lifetime. You know, first, you know, in Matthew 28, he told us to plant churches, and that's great. But where do we do it? It says, you know, first in Jerusalem, right? Now, it's not saying for us to go buy plane tickets to Israel today and go over there, and that's where we start. But what it's saying is to start in your local city. You know, wherever you're at, you know, basically that church right there, you know, it needs to reach its entire city. And I think that we know this. We've got this covered. You know, we got that map. We're trying to get that done. For you guys, it's Tucson. For us, it's Phoenix. We got that done. And then he tells us to go into all Judea, which we have in common, which is the state of Arizona. We want to reach every single person there. And then the next administration after that would be the country of the United States of America. It says, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And after that, it's the whole world. And so this is the framework. This is the method by which we're going to reach the entire world. You know, it's, you know, it says, yeah, so we need to plant churches and basically repeat this process in all the world. And so, you know, we don't have to wonder, like, how are we going to reach the whole world with the gospel? Like, how are we going to do this? You know, are we going to do this through politics? Like, do we need to send, you know, born again, saved, you know, children of God to, like, go take over the political scene and, like, change all the politics? No, that's not how we do it. Do we do it through, like, military conquest, like Muslims did or whatever? No, we don't do it that way. You know, how do we do it? We do it, you know, the old-fashioned way, the way that the Bible teaches us, by planting churches, and then those churches go out and preach the gospel in their areas. That's how we're going to reach the entire world with the gospel. And so, you know, basically that's how it's going to be done. You know, in fact, our pastor talked about this in that sermon that I mentioned earlier. You know, and basically he talked about how, you know, when our church wants to plant a church somewhere else, we need to, you know, basically plant a church in a city with over 1 million people. And then that church would basically plant other churches in cities with over 100,000 people in their area. And I think that's a great way to do it. You know, just start with the biggest cities and work your way down, kind of. And basically, we need to repeat that process all over the world. Now, you know, we basically counted, you know, me and another guy up in in Tempe. We basically counted how many cities in the world are over 1 million people and how many cities in the world are over 100,000. Really, how many churches do we need, like, minimum to get this done, right? So we talked about it, we counted it, and let me tell you, you know, there's about 500 cities in the world with over 1 million people, and there's about 4,000 cities in the world with over 100,000 people. So that comes out to 4,500 churches that we really need minimum to reach the entire world with the gospel. You know, if we're going to follow this plan, if we're going to follow what the Bible has told us and the principles that pastors laid out and everything, that's basically how we're going to do it. And, you know, that sounds really hard, right? That sounds like 4,500 churches. That's a lot. But, you know, just to bring this in perspective, I wanted to compare that to some other denominations out there, whatever. Like, think about the old IFB, you know what I mean? Like, think about how many churches they have out there. And I just from a quick Google search, it said that the old IFB has roughly 10,000 churches in the U.S. alone. So in the U.S. alone, they have 10,000. We just need half of that to reach the whole world. That just shows me that they're not really doing, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. They're not reaching everybody. You know what I mean? Like, if all of them were reaching every creature or whatever, we'd be having our door knocked all the time. You know what I mean? We'd be having it knocked every month or something like that. And it's just like, man, yeah, I know you came by here last month. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's basically what we need. We just need half of that. And we can get the whole world the gospel. If we're working towards this, if we have the map, if we have this plan in mind, then we can do it. You know, even Southern Baptists, I looked at their, you know, they're way bigger, of course, but I looked at how many churches they have. They have 50,000 churches in the U.S. alone. All we need is 10% of that. If we had 10% of that, we could, you know, reach the whole world with gospel. We could turn this place upside down. Every nation, you know, every creature, we could do it. You know, and so it's actually a very attainable goal. It's something that we can do, and it's something that we can even do in our lifetime even. And so I want you guys to get a vision for the Great Commission. I want you guys to be thinking about this, praying for this, you know, just basically, you know, yeah, I want us to work towards this. So turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now, you may be saying to yourself, okay, I understand the Great Commission. It's preach the gospel to every creature. It's planting churches in all these cities. That's great. You know, and I understand that that's a very attainable goal. But how are we going to reach these places where, you know, Christianity is basically just not welcome? You know what I mean? How are we going to plant churches in, like, China or India or Indonesia or wherever? How are we going to reach these places that have all these people in it, but they're not friendly towards Christians? And, you know, my answer for that is basically another principle that our church has that our pastors put out there, which is, you know, common sense missions. I'm sure that most people here are familiar with that, but that is go to where it's receptive, safe, and legal first. You know, we need to go to places in this world. We have a large portion of the world open to us right now where it's receptive, safe, and legal to go there and preach the gospel. We need to go to those places right now, and God will open up doors in those other places later. You know, we have, you know, all of the all of South America, all of Mexico, the Caribbean, all of Africa, the Philippines, you know, many places probably in Europe and everything. Like, we have so many areas that we can go to now where it's receptive, safe, and legal, and we can get many people saved and plant churches and do a great work for God. And then once, you know, we get those areas, you know, going good and everything, you know, God can open up doors in these other places. I believe that. I believe that from the bottom of my heart, that God can open up doors in the most unlikely of places. And I want to show you this from the Bible, maybe show you something that you haven't thought before. But look down, if you would, at Acts chapter 16, and look at verse number 6. It says in Acts chapter 16, verse number 6, it says, "Now when they," referring to Paul and the people who was working with him at that time, "now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden," notice this phrase, "were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in" where? "In Asia." So it says that he was forbidden to preach in Asia. Let's continue. And in verse 7, it says, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us for to preach the gospel unto them." And see, this is really the essence of the Great Commission here. You know, having a vision of for a group of people or for an area and going out there and bringing them the gospel, you know, preaching the gospel in that area. You know, Paul quite literally had a vision of somebody saying, "Hey, come and help us." We need to have a vision as well for our area, for, you know, whatever area that you want to go soul winning in. We need to have a vision for that area and try and our best to give them all the gospel and basically give them that opportunity. You know, because here's the thing. You know, you're saved and they're not. So guess what? They need our help. You know, and you don't have to actually see like a literal vision like Paul did. You just need to know, hey, you know, they're unsaved. I'm saved. I need, you know, there's got to be something going on here. They need my help. I got to go and preach to them. And so we need that sort of attitude that says, hey, I'm willing to go. You know I wanted to go to Asia, but I need to go to Macedonia instead. I've been forbidden. You know, that door is closed right now. And but here's the thing, though. A closed door today is not necessarily a closed door tomorrow. And I want to prove that to you. Flip just a couple of pages over to Acts chapter 19 now. Now, remember, where was Paul forbidden to go to? He was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. But look, at, if you would, at Acts chapter 19 and verse 9. Let's see what happened later. This is probably many years later. I'm not sure how long later it was. But it says in verse 9, it says, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus." And look down, if you would, at verse number 10, Acts chapter 19, verse 10. And it says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that..." Look at this. "So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Notice, you know, Paul, he got to do what he wanted to do. In Acts chapter 16, he wanted to go to Asia. He was forbidden to go to Asia. But guess what? In Acts chapter 19, over the course of 2 years, him and the people who were working with him got the gospel to every single person which is in Asia. He eventually got to do that. You know, there was a door that was closed back then, but guess what? It opened up. And I think that God can do the exact same thing today, or, you know, some countries, or even just locally speaking, like there are some, you know, gated areas or gated apartment complex or whatever. You know, I think that God can open up doors in these areas and we can reach those people. But first, we need to go to that which is receptive, safe, and legal. Those areas where it's easy to get people saved and whatnot. But, you know, we just definitely don't need to ignore those other places. You know what I mean? So we need to be praying for them. And so this verse right here, these verses prove my point that God can open up doors, even in the most unlikely of places. So turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I'll start wrapping it up. This is my third point for you tonight. And that is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. See, we talked about understanding the Great Commission. We understand what it is. We don't have any doubts about what we need to do. And then we also talked about the plan to evangelize the world in our lifetime. You know, it can get done. It's a very attainable thing that we can do, planting those churches, and then those churches reach their areas and everything. Like, we can get this done. But now I want to talk to you about the literal fulfillment of the Great Commission. See, the Bible actually teaches that in the end times, before the end can come, that, you know, basically the Christians of that generation will preach the gospel to every creature in the entire world. And I want you to see that as well. So you're there in Matthew chapter 24. Look down, if you would, at verse number 9. So this is an end times passage talking about the events leading up to the rapture and everything. It says in verse 9, it says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." And look at verse 14, and it says, "In this gospel," again, this is what we've been talking about this whole time, "in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So notice, this is an end times requirement. This is one of those things that has to happen before, you know, we're raptured up and we go to heaven and everything. Is basically, you know, we got to get the gospel of the kingdom in all the world for a witness unto all nations. We got to preach the gospel to every creature before that can happen. In fact, in the parallel passage in Mark chapter 13, it says, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." Notice that word first. So before anything else can happen, we got to get this done. You know, we got to preach the gospel to all nations, to every creature, and then, you know, and then the end will come. And, you know, the Bible, I think, hints at this in other places. You know, it says in Daniel chapter 11 that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And that's also referring to the end times. So look, you know, we need to be strong, and we can do this great exploit of preaching the gospel to every single creature in our lifetime. We can do this, you know, and if it's not us, then it's going to be some other generation down the road. Because the thing is that the end can't come until we get this done. In fact, John, you know, I think Jesus was talking about this too in John 14. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Look, we can do this great work for God to reach the gospel, to reach the whole world with the gospel. You know, we have proof in the Bible that it was done in the first century AD, but we also have proof that it will be done again before the end times. And so... And so these are parallel passages, you know, and I want to make that clear. You know, I believe that, you know, what the verses that we started off talking about, like Mark 16, preach the gospel to every creature, and these verses talking about the end times, these are parallel passages. One of them has the directive, hey, you need to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, and then one of them has the literal fulfillment of that in the end times. And so, you know, basically, you know, we need to get this done. You know, I personally want to be that generation that, you know, basically preaches the gospel to every creature. I want to be a part of that. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be a part of that, and I want you guys to want to be a part of that too. That's why I preach this sermon. What's the title of the sermon? Get a vision for the Great Commission. I want you guys to have this great big vision to reach the entire world with the gospel. And I'm not saying that you're personally going to do it, or me personally, but us together, you know, reaching our local areas and just sending churches out and things like that, you know, we can get this done. And so, turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. We'll end there. That'll be my last verse. So, yeah, you know, I want to be a part of that generation, basically, that sees the whole world get preached the gospel. And, you know, I want to be like Simeon in Luke chapter 2. You know, what did he say? He said, whenever he saw baby Jesus, he said, you know, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he basically said that, hey, you know, the Lord allowed me to see the salvation of Israel. You know what I mean? And I want to be that guy who, even if I'm an old man, I get to see the whole world get preach the gospel. You know, I want to be a part of that, and I want you guys to be a part of that too. But again, it's up to us whether we do it or not. You know, we need to get this vision. We need to be thinking about this, praying about this, you know, really, you know, I'm wanting this to happen. We need to get on board, because again, you know, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if we have the faith that it can be done, it can be done. If we don't, you know, then, you know, it's not going to get done. And look down, if you would, at Luke chapter 10, verse 2. I'll end it here. And this is a very powerful verse, but he said, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." See, right now, the laborers are few. But, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it can be a lot. And all we have to do is just have the faith that it can be done. We need to pray for it. And, you know, this vision can be accomplished. And so just be praying for that and just be thinking about that. And let's just go ahead and pray right now. So, dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach down here in Tucson. I pray that something that I would have said would have edified, you know, somebody here. And I just pray that you would help us get all of us get on board with this mission. And just be, you know, we want to pray that you would send laborers into your harvest. You're doing it here in Tucson. You're doing it up in Tempe. You're doing it in Houston and all these other places. But we need laborers in all the world. And I just want to pray that you would send people out there and help us get this done, laboring together with us, Lord. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.